Tonight's sermon is titled, How to Be a Good Shepherd. It's found in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Now we've been looking at Peter as he's been talking about how to stand up to suffering, how to stand up to persecution. And having good shepherds, having good leadership within the church is very important in standing up to suffering and standing up to persecution. Because in times of persecution, when Satan attacks the church, and believe me, and I think you here at Plymouth know this, Satan is alive and well. I would dare say he's sitting here tonight looking whom he can take away from the church. Satan is active. If we think of him as just something in the distance, something that isn't, or something that others have problem with, we're mistaken. Satan is real, he's active, and believe me, JC, he hates us. He hates us so much, he would love to destroy us. And when we look at the empty pews, we know Satan is active in our world. But this sermon tonight is less for the flock and more for the leadership. And let me encourage all men to be aware of these things, because leadership is needed in the church. But in times of persecution, when Satan openly attacks God's people need leadership. If judgment begins at God's house, then the house needs to be in order or it will fall. This explains why Peter wrote this special message to the leaders of the church, to encourage them to do their work faithfully. Leaders who run away in time of difficulty are only proving the words of Jesus. They were hirelings. The sheep were not theirs. Let's open to 1 Peter now, chapter 5, and let us read the verses 1 through 4 together. Now I have something to say to the elders in your group. I also am an elder. I have seen Christ suffering, and I will share in the glory that will be shown to us. I beg you to shepherd God's flock, for whom you are responsible. Watch over them because you want to, not because you are forced. That is how God wants it. Do it because you are happy to serve, not because you want money. Do not be like a ruler over people you are responsible for, but be good examples to them. Then when Christ, the chief shepherd, comes, you will get a glorious crown that will never lose its beauty. You may wonder when you look at the denominational world around us, but the New Testament assemblies were organized under the leadership of elders and deacons. Sometimes you wouldn't know that if you looked at the religious world around us. And as I said this morning, God's ways are the best ways in governing and running the church that belongs to Christ. The word elder or bishop refers to the same office. The word bishop is translated overseer. Elders refer mainly to the maturity of the officer, and the bishop then to the responsibility of the office. The word pastor, which we often hear, actually is applied to elders and not to the preacher or the minister, but to the elders of the church. The elders were appointed to office, and it's interesting, I did some research on this, but that word that is translated appoint in the Greek has the meaning to appoint by the raising of hands. Isn't that amazing? It has to do with the church. Selecting the elders, the elderly men who are wise in the Word of God, and whom we trust with our souls. Apparently, each congregation had this privilege of selecting elders for them. And I got this information from a book by Mack Lyon, if you know the name Mack Lyon, that he had written on this subject. Peter was concerned that the leadership in the local church be at its best. He knew persecution was coming, and that's what the First Peter is about. He is warning Christians, you are meeting with suffering, that's true. But Peter warned, a persecution would come upon the church. Satan hates us. He hates the people of God. He hates the church of God. And he will do everything he can to destroy it. Because that's how he gets at God. He can't do anything to God, but if he attacks the church and attacks Christians, he knows that he can hurt God in this way. But when the fiery trial comes upon the church, the believers in the assembly do look to their elders, to the leadership. And that means, yes, Mark, as a deacon, you too, and me as evangelist. And so these words are for us who would be leaders in the church. And they were to encourage us and to strengthen us. But tonight we will look at three qualities that God particularly wants for leaders, though they would fit every Christian. But Peter lists these as being vitally important for the elders within the church. That first is a relationship with Christ. Now you might ask, how do we have a relationship with Christ? Well, through study of His Word and through prayer, and through living the Christian life, following in His footsteps. But this personal relationship is important. It's interesting. Peter draws upon his experience in the time he spent with Christ and afterwards to encourage these elders. And he called himself not an apostle here. He didn't say, as an apostle, I am ordering the elders. No. What did he say? Now I have something to say to the elders in your group. I also am an elder. Peter was letting them know. I know what it's like to be an elder. I know what it's like to lead God's people. I know what it's like. Therefore, my words will be useful to you. He was a witness, personally, to Christ's life upon the earth. And when we read about witnessing, it's interesting, once again, I like that word tonight, don't I? Interesting. But I found it interesting, the word martyr. The English word martyr comes from a Greek word, but a martyr is technically a witness who tells what he has seen and heard. Now, we applied it to those who died under persecution. But technically, it only means a witness who tells what he has seen and heard. And in this way, Peter was a martyr. And he would be a martyr in both ways, wouldn't he? But he says, I'm a witness to what I have seen and what I have heard. Now, think about it. If elders have to do with maturity, why do elders need to be mature men? They would have to have experienced suffering. They would have had to experience living the life of a Christian in all types of situations. Because who knows better than an elderly gentleman in Christ, strong in the faith, who better to help those who are struggling now? So 1 Peter 5, Peter speaks from his experience. Verse 1 in chapter 5 takes us to Gethsemane and to Calvary. The glory that shall be revealed reminds us of Peter's experience with Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. He said, I have seen Christ suffering, and I will share in the glory that will be shown to us. What did Jesus see upon the Mount of Transfiguration? What did Peter see? Wrong person. What did Peter see in the Mount of Transfiguration? the glory of Christ. And when the Father was prompted to speak, what did the Father say? This is my beloved Son. Hear Him. But Peter saw the glory of God. He saw the glory of Christ. And he could say, and I will share in the glory. And brethren and sistren, you will also see and share in the glory that Peter, James, and John saw. I wish I could have been there. That must have been quite a sight. But Peter is speaking from experience. The glory that shall be revealed reminds us of his time on the Mount of Transfiguration. The emphasis in verse 2 on the shepherd and the sheep certainly bring to mind chapter 10 of John, where it talks about Jesus being the good shepherd. And he talks about the hireling and how they will run when the wolf comes. But also, it reminds us of Peter in John chapter 21. Remember that incident after the resurrection? Remember the words of Jesus to Peter? Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. And so verse 2, I beg you to shepherd God's flock for whom you are responsible. To feed the sheep technically means to shepherd the sheep. There's much more than just feeding involved. There's the care that is necessary. There is the protection from the shepherd that is necessary. And so Peter admonishes the elders, feed the sheep. Shepherd the sheep. The warning in verse 3 about lording it over the saints reminds us of Jesus' lesson on greatness in the kingdom. Remember what the disciples were arguing about one day? Probably many days. Who will be the greatest in the kingdom? So far, even the parents or the mother. Can you imagine grown men bringing in their mothers to beg Jesus that their sons be given a leadership position? Now, JC, what would you do if your mother came in here right now and said, Monty, JC needs a better position in the church? That's basically what happened here, isn't it? The mother came, but lording it over the others. What was Jesus' whole point? You guys are equal. You're not there to lord it over one another. You're not there to lord it over the church. Who is the Lord of the church? Jesus Christ. Yeah, the man upstairs. We, as leaders, particularly the elders, must learn that we are not lords of the church. We are Christians that have been given the responsibility to feed the sheep. In verse 5 of chapter 5, he talks about being clothed in humility. What do you think he was thinking about when he says be clothed in humility to the leaders of the church, the elders? What do you think was his thought? What was he thinking on? Very simple. Who clothed himself in humility and washed the feet of the disciples? In Jesus' words, you're not greater than the Master. If the Master washes your feet, then you should be able to wash the feet of one another. The elders are not to lord it over the church, but to serve in humility. And verse 8 parallels Peter's warning, or the Lord's warning to Peter about Satan. In one account, he said, Peter, Satan has asked permission to sift you. Now, we don't do it today. I think I can kind of remember when I was younger, my mom doing it. Today, we don't need to. But my mom would sometimes take the flour and put it in this thing and sift it. I don't think we need to do that today. But that's what Satan wanted to do with Peter. He wanted to put him in there and sift him and see what would happen. And he's warning him. And other versions, it says he wants to sift you and the other disciples. And so the warning in verse 8 there, control yourselves and be careful. The devil, your enemy, goes around like a roaring lion looking for someone to eat. And so he warns the elders about Satan, because Peter knew what it was like to be sifted. What did Peter end up doing and crying about? He betrayed the Lord. He came back to the Lord. But the Bible teaches us that Peter wept bitterly. Peter knew what it was like to be sifted by Satan. And it's interesting to note, now, in the New Century Version, verse 10 says, and after you suffer for a short time, God gives all grace, will make everything right. He will make you strong and support you and keep you from falling. Some version says, he will make you perfect. And I did some research there to see what the Greek meant, and it's the same word that was used when Jesus came and found Peter and Andrew. What were they doing? Remember what they were doing when Jesus found them? They were mending their nets. They weren't fishing. They were mending their nets on the beach. And that's the same word, make you perfect. Mending the net. Jesus will mend your nets. He'll fix you, is the thought in that verse. And so he is thinking back over his experience with Jesus. It's important for the elders to realize, and for leaders, and for all of us, we must continually grow in Christ. That is what the Lord expects. He wants us to have a relationship, time in study, time in prayer, and time in the walk as a Christian. The men who pastor or shepherd the church, the people of God, must be men who walk with God and who are still growing spiritually. Paul was talking to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:15 about the work of an evangelist, but I think it applies to all leaders within the church. He says in chapter 4, verse 15, be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them. Why? So that everyone may see your progress. Elders, deacons, evangelists, if the people don't see you growing spiritually, something is wrong. The word progress, once again, I looked up in the Greek, means a pioneer advance. The elders must constantly be moving into new territories of study, achievement, and in ministry. If the leader of the church are not moving forward, how can we expect the church to move forward? Sometimes God permits the church to go through trials so that the people will be forced to grow. You know, the church was stuck in Jerusalem. They seemed to not want to go home after they became Christians. You know what God did to get them home? He sent a persecution. And what happened, though, when the people fled Jerusalem? They went everywhere preaching the word, and the church all of a sudden sprung up all over the Roman Empire because these Christians went home, lived a Christian life, and taught about Jesus. Sometimes we need persecution to make us grow. Elders, as you study and grow in Christ, it's your duty to share what you've learned with the church so they can grow with you. A second big aspect of being a leader within the church is a loving concern for God's sheep. There's a book, I've only read part of it, and I like the title, They Smell Like Sheep. It's a book for elders. The image of the flock is often used in the Bible, and it is an instructive one. We were once stray sheep, wandering toward ruin, but the good shepherd came and saved us and brought us back into the fold. Sheep tend to be clean animals. Now, I know nothing of sheep. All my sheep knowledge is book knowledge. I've never wanted to keep sheep. I've eaten them a couple of times, but I still prefer beef. And wool, well, I've wore wool clothing, so sheep are necessary. So I've never kept one myself. So once again, this is all book knowledge that I've attained from other places. But sheep are clean animals. The Bible teaches dogs can return to their vomit and pigs can return to the wallow. But sheep also tend to flock together. God's people need to be together. Sheep are notoriously ignorant and prone to wander away if they are not following a good shepherd. Sheep tend to be defenseless for the most part and need a shepherd to protect them. But sheep are also useful animals. The Jewish shepherds who tended their sheep did not use them as meat. Meat tended to be expensive. Most people in this time ate more grain and vegetables than they did meat. And so they did not have sheep for the meat, but for the wool, for the milk, and for the lambs. God's people should be useful to Him, and particularly in reproducing more Christians. Sheep were used for sacrifices, and Christians ought to be living sacrifices for their God. Peter reminded the shepherd elders of their God-given responsibilities. The first we've touched upon, feed the flock of God. Once again, that word feed means to care for in all of its aspects, to care for the sheep who belong to God. There are many aspects to perform as elder, to protect the sheep from thieves and murderers. And the elders must protect the flock from false teachers and those who would harm the church. Sometimes the sheep don't like it when they are rebuked by the shepherds. But this ministry is good for them. The sheep just don't always know it. A faithful shepherd not only protected the flock, but he led them from pasture to pasture so that they would be adequately fed. And literally, he had to walk before them, because sheep just don't drive very good, I've read. They tend to want to follow you. And I've even heard of a shepherd having a goat. Because the goat, he can drive, and the sheep will follow the goat. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but a shepherd needs to lead the flock and not drive the flock into green pastures of the Word of God, to where they can be properly fed, that they might grow spiritually and in Christ. Sometimes it was necessary for a shepherd to seek out a wayward sheep and to give it personal attention. And I've heard that it's true. They tended to pick the sheep up and carry it back to the flock so the sheep would know that it was important. Jesus not only ministered to the crowds, Jesus ministered. He took the time to minister to individuals. Look at all the times in Scripture where Jesus ministered to one or two people. You'll probably find lots of them. Nicodemus, the woman at the well, the rich young ruler that came to him. He even took the time to spend with children. But Jesus took the time to minister to individual people who had wandered off. And if a sheep tends to be rebellious, the shepherd had ways to discipline him. And at the close of each day, the shepherd would examine each of the sheep to see if it needed care. Some might have come into a briar bush and have scratched its others. Others might have their hair full of briars and couldn't get them out. And so the shepherd would anoint the bruises with oil and remove the briars from the wool. A good shepherd knew the sheep by name, and he understood their needs and their traits. It's not an easy thing to be an elder. It is a task that never ends, and it does need the supernatural power of God to be able to accomplish it. What makes it even more challenging is the fact that the sheep don't belong to the elders, to the shepherds. The sheep belong to God. We are only guiding and taking care of the sheep and waiting for the chief shepherd to come. But sheep also have a responsibility to the elders. One of my favorite verses, and I don't know if all church members like this verse, but Hebrews 13:17. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. Learn the words. Good. An elder is not a fun-filled job. I know Phil was an elder for many, 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 many years. I don't know how many thousands of years he was an elder, but he's been an elder when I was a teenager here. It's not easy, is it, Phil? So both shepherds and sheep have responsibilities to one another. Another thing of elders is that they must take the oversight. The word bishop basically means overseer, one who looks over for the purpose of leading. You will notice that a shepherd must be both among the sheep and over the sheep. An elder is still one of the flock. But an elder is also over the flock. The elder needs both relationships. He must be among the sheep because he needs to know the sheep. He needs to see how they live and know how they feel. He must never take himself away from the flock. He is a shepherd who knows his people and seeks to help them through the word of God and through his example. When a man has the heart of an elder, he loves the sheep and serves them because he wants to and not because he has to. The phrase a ready mind means an eager mind. It means a willingness to serve because of a readiness and an eagerness in the heart to serve God. This is the heart of an elder. Another of the points Peter brings is that an elder must be an example to the flock. Now, when I say elders, deacons, evangelists, that applies to you too. But be an example to the flock. Verse 3 here, we just reread it earlier, but let's read it again. Do not be like a ruler over people you are responsible for, but be a good example to them. The contrast is between a dictatorship and a leadership. You cannot drive sheep, you must lead them. It has been well said that the church needs leaders who serve and servants who lead. It is by being an example that the shepherd solves many tensions among Christians. The people are willing to follow a leader who leads by example. When they know you care, when they know you've been through it, and when they see Christ in your life and love in your eyes, the sheep will follow. Now, if you kick the sheep and say bad things to the sheep and do things that shepherds shouldn't do, then don't expect sheep to follow. A shepherd leads by example, as Jesus led by example. Sometimes we need to remember that the church is God's heritage. The flock belongs to Him. He seeks out the leaders and He sees them into their leadership roles. It's God who has appointed the elders in the end, not mankind himself or the church himself, but God. There is no competition in the work of eldership. You all are after the same thing, to see that the flock remains faithful and finds its way home to God. Therefore, nobody has to act important and lord it over God's people. Elders are overseers, not overlords. And lastly, there must be a desire to please Christ alone. 5 and 4. Then when Christ, the chief shepherd, comes, you will get a glorious crown that will never lose its beauty. 1 Peter is known as the letter or the epistle of hope. Peter brings in once again the promised return of the Lord Jesus. His coming is an encouragement in suffering and a motivation for faithful service, because it is sometimes hard to be a leader. At times a leader seems not to be able to please anyone. Sometimes a leader just can't seem to do anything right. But our job as leaders is not to please everyone. It is to please God. And God then will help take care of the rest. If we follow Him, live like He lived, then things tend to work out with the help of God. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd who died for the sheep. He was also known as the great shepherd who lives for the sheep. And He is also known as the chief shepherd who comes for the sheep. As chief shepherd, He alone can access the work of an elder. I do not feel qualified to say how Phil has done in the past, or Bert, or Cletus, or Jerry. That's not my job. God will be their judge. And believe me, the Bible teaches leaders will be judged harder than those who are not leaders. That's why we should make it easy for the elders and not hard. Some who appear to be first may end up being last when the Lord comes. There were several kind of crowns in those days, and I think the one Peter talks to here or refers to is the athlete's crown, which was usually leaves or flowers, and was given to the winner. But a crown of leaves and flowers would fade away. We talked about fig leaves this morning. Jerry mentioned fig leaves. Well, what happens to a fig leaf when it dries up and withers? There's not much left to cover, is there? But the crown that we will get as being faithful servants is a glorious crown that will never fade. What we work for, what we hope for, is a well done from the great shepherd. This is a crown that will never fade. And it brings its joy as we lay our earthly elder crown and leadership crowns at the feet of Jesus. Because we know and acknowledge that we have only been able to serve and live because of His grace and of His power. We will have no desire for personal glory when we see Jesus face to face. Sometimes it's a problem here on earth because of our pride. But when we face Jesus and we have attained that new body that has been promised to us, we will not have a desire for personal glory, but only for the glory of God. Everything in the local church rises and falls with leadership. No matter how large or small a leadership might be, the leaders must be Christian. Each must have a relationship with Christ. And by that, I mean a prayer life, a study life, and a life walked in Christ. There must be a concern for his people, and there must be a desire to please God and Christ, the great shepherd. We lead by serving, and we serve by suffering. This is the way of Jesus, and this is the only true way to glory. The only way to salvation and to glory is the way of God. Will you be a part of this way? This way is a hard way, but it leads to the glory land. It leads to our personal glory in Jesus Christ, not because of what we have done, but because of His grace. So the way to true glory is the glory land way. Will you not come and follow as Jesus leads us down the glory land way?